Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
This message was birthed at about 35,000 feet. Not long ago, it was birthed on an airplane with Gina at about 35,000 feet. I see things, and things just, you know, it's kind of like Squirrel. What was the name of that movie? Up. Do you remember the Up? Things just kind of get my attention. I could be moving along like this, and all of a sudden, this squirrel moment happened, and it's got my attention, and I'm going to go that direction. And so they come on, and I believe, by the way, they have to do this. So I'm not making light of this. Everybody understand these are COVID restrictions. So I'm not making light of this. I'm just wanted you to see the irony in two ends of my story. So we sit down and we're getting ready to take off, and the flight attendants are all saying, they begin with, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy that you're flying," and I won't name the airline. If I name it, somebody throw something at me really hard, because I'm going to do my best not to. But they all do this. They get up there and say, "Thank you for flying. You have a lot of choices, but you chose us, and we're so thankful that you did." Now, let me just share a few things that you're not supposed to do while we're in flight, and then I'll share you the things that we cannot do while we're in flight. So they spend about 15, 20 minutes talking about all the things you cannot do now that we're in flight during the COVID season. We cannot do these things. And they list them, and I won't go through all of them. And then she says, and by the way, and we're not having in-service snacks and things like that any longer. We're no longer serving. You cannot get lines at the restrooms. You cannot stand in the galley any longer. You cannot. And you must wear the mask, and you must not have it down below your nose. And that went on for about 20 minutes. And then they come by with a napkin and a cup of water. And the napkin says, "In a world full of no, we're a plane full of yes." There it is. In a world full of no, we're a plane full of yes. And I told Gina, "Give me that napkin. Give me that napkin. That is too good to be true. I just spent 20 minutes hearing no, no, no." And when you enter the airport, you will not be allowed to. And when you get to the baggage, you will not be allowed to. And you, no, in a world full of no, we're a plane full of yes. I couldn't hand those out. I couldn't. You know what? I'd turn it down to the backside of it, where at least it says, "We don't play games with your fares, just on our napkins." I would at least turn it to that side. Now, if you know what airline I'm talking about, don't put it on. Don't type it in on the broadcast. Don't make a comment about it on the broadcast, okay? They're doing the best they can, and I get that. But I just found the irony. You see, we're not used to being told no anymore, because you know why? Commercials tell us. All the TV commercials, especially attorney commercials, "You deserve better. No one should tell you no. We'll tell you yes, because you deserve." Everybody say, "You deserve better." And this is the world's message. It started in about the 1970s. I believe it was Burger King. "You deserve a break. To have it your way. Have it your way." Who did "You deserve a break today" at McDonald's? "You deserve it. You deserve it." Now, what did you do to deserve? Nothing. But you deserve it. We've got attorneys doing those commercials, and I could name them. There's some prominent commercials that says, "You need to have what you deserve." I love this one. These are government, insurance things. "You should have what you're entitled to." Haven't paid a dime for it. But you ought to have what you're entitled to. You're entitled, you know. You are. It should be yours. And if you're not getting it, you're getting ripped off. Because you deserve better. Everybody get the picture in the title of the message this morning? You deserve this. It's a right. It's a human right to deserve better. Oh my goodness. Tell that to the car dealer when you go up to the Mercedes-Benz car dealer up here on the corner and say, I deserve your car. Give me the keys. Give me the keys. I deserve that C300. Oh, I deserve that. Well, you have to pay for it. No. I deserve it. I'm entitled to good things. Everybody getting the picture? Can I tell you something? The problem, and I have alluded to the garden how many times in the 20 years plus at St. Charles River Church? I allude to it because our problem started with the garden. It started in the garden with the fall of man. There was this sense that in the garden, and a lie that was being bought into by Adam and Eve, and the enemy brought the lie, and that is this: you deserve better than what God's given you, and He is holding out on you. In a world full of no, we're a garden full of yes. That's the idea. But God was the one who said yes to everything in the garden. Get the picture, the irony. In the garden, God was the one who said yes to everything except that one fruit, that one tree. God was the one who said, I'll give it all to you. He did tell Adam to work the garden, but it wasn't so that he would have the supplies need. God supplied all of their needs in the garden. But God is ripping you off. To take it one next generation, when Cain killed Abel, Cain felt ripped off that God didn't approve his sacrifice. I deserve the same recognition as my brother. So what do? I kill him to get revenge against God who ripped me off from my public. By the way, who was he wanting to applaud? Who was he at that point wanting to applaud him? He's in the garden with his family. Or was, actually, at one point. They're actually cast out of the garden. And they are actually out of the garden. And now they're having to work. And I mean, till the soil. They're having to work really hard. So they're literally out of the garden now. But he knew a generation, his parents' generation, who knew who God was. Who knew what it was to have all of their needs supplied to them. And all of a sudden, Cain has this second generation impression that God is somehow ripping him off. And I'm going to take it out on my brother who just happened to have pleased God. That's the only thing that Abel did. That's the only thing he was guilty of, was that he pleased God. Think about that. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to get into this. There's a growing, and I don't know that we're going to go back. I'm going to just be really transparent with you. I don't know that we're ever going to go back away from this entitlement mentality that is in the world today. It's not just in America. It is in the world today. There's this growth, because, hey, it's always been in man at some level, but now it is truly, there was this great society, this great culture that came long before me, the greatest generation ever, who believed you worked for what you received. Okay, I got two people shaking their head. Okay, I said, there was this great society, this great generation of people who came before me, and they were the WW1 and WW2 people, who that generation really believed, and before that, listen, if you wanted to cross the Rocky Mountains in a wagon and a horse pulling it, you had to work hard to get there. There was no entitlement. There was this sense that you work hard. Even in the early days of the settlements of America, there was this idea that you work to get your food. You don't work, you don't eat. There was this, and I'm not just talking about a political way here. I'm talking about there was a moral thing that you owed your family to work. There was this moral thing that we will work hard because we reap what we sow. That's a biblical principle, that we reap what we sow. We don't go up to the Mercedes-Benz dealership without all the money it takes to go buy that brand new Mercedes-Benz and declare that that's our car. Now, I know some faith people that may do that. I just want to go watch. Now, I, God bless them for their faith. But sometimes, do you know that faith is misled? I said, sometimes faith is misled. Sometimes faith has a selfish motive to it. I'm determined to bless me instead of allowing God to bless me. God, you know what? God blesses us by, at times, just hard work. And the entitlement generation doesn't get that. I'm a big fan I'm going to get into the word here in just a second, but I am a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show. There's so many morals in that show. If you ever watch it, it's not just Andy and Barney that are hilarious. There's some real morals that go on. And Opie walks in one day and he says to his dad there in the courthouse, "Pa," he had found a new friend, and his new friend doesn't have to do chores. Do you remember the episode? His new friend doesn't have to do chores to get his allowance. He gets his allowance. And I think it was, do you remember what it was, like $1.25? And Opie got 25 cents a week if he did his chores. You get the picture. So Opie comes in one day, he says, "Pa, whatever that kid's name was, he gets $1.25 from his father, and he doesn't have to do chores." He said, "Well, he doesn't." "No, he doesn't." He said, "And so what does that mean?" He says, "Well, I don't think I should have to clean the garage. And I should still get my 25 cents allowance." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, Ope, we're not going to do that. We have an agreement that you'll work." "Well, but I don't like working that hard." He said, "Well, how doesn't it make you feel good?" He said, "Good and tired." He said, "But that's a good and tired feeling, Ope." And the lesson was, work hard, you'll appreciate what you have more. But I want to take you to Romans chapter 5, and I want to talk to you about something you never worked for, and you got the best end of the deal, as always. You got the best kingdom deal ever, and you never had to work for it. In fact, you couldn't work for it, and I'm going to prove that you couldn't earn this, but it was given to you anyway. If anybody thinks in this room, or anybody on this broadcast, that we're getting ripped off, that we deserve better, I want to talk with you about that after I read this. There, here we go. So this is Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it says this, "Therefore," and any time Paul is writing or any of the writers are writing, what they're saying is, after all I have just written to you and said and justified what I'm about to say to you, that's what they're saying. "Therefore, with all the evidence I just presented to you," it's kind of a closing the case if you're an attorney. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," everybody say justified. Do you know you were given justification as a free gift from God? Did you catch that? I said, we have been given justification before God as a free gift from God that we could not earn. And I'm going to prove that in just a second. It says, we have been justified through faith. Who gave us, by the way, who gave us the power to believe? God did. God's word says that to every man a measure of faith is given. God gave us the very faith as a gift to trust Him. It was a gift to you and me. Did we deserve that? No, we could never, ever deserve that. It's just simply goes this way. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's the gift of God because He just loves you and adores you, Maxine, so much. He just absolutely, where's Gerda? Gerda, He just loves you, and as much as I love you and adore you, Gina and I adore you, God loves you and adores you so much more, He gave heaven's best for you when we didn't deserve it. He goes on to say, we have peace with God. Everybody say peace. Oh my goodness, we have a treaty. Get it? We have a nuclear arms treaty with the Creator. He could nuke us. We have peace with God. We have a treaty with God. No punishment coming our way. No getting even with our sin coming our way. We have peace with God. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. Oh, wow. I didn't get there on my own. We have access because Christ got me there through the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. It says, by faith into His grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope, everybody say hope, of the glory of God. Everybody say glory. By the way, that's the presence of God. The glory of God is His presence. We actually stand, we have the, He gave us heaven's best, and we have the Spirit of the living God within us as a gift that we could not deserve, that we could not work for or ever attain outside of simple grace. Verse 3, it says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Oh, wait a minute now. You mean you don't deserve better than to suffer? Let's look at this real quick. It says, Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Wait a minute, you deserve better. You and I deserve better. According to man's standard and every attorney in the state of Missouri, you deserve better. You shouldn't have to suffer ever. Never. You should never have a hard time. Never. Wait a minute, that's not what Paul said. It says suffering produces perseverance. I'm going to stop there just for a second. Years ago, eighth grade, I was laughed off the stage at a middle school. Well, we called it junior high back then. Right, Rhonda? Rhonda's my age. So. We went to high school together. We actually went to high school together. Our son-in-law, his mother, we went to high school together. And so in middle school, or junior high, I was laughed off of a stage one time. I mean, I was laughed off that stage because I was doing a speech in front of the whole school nominating Harriet Heitman. I hope you're on there. Harriet Heitman as school president, been the first woman, girl school president in all of that school's history. And I was nominating her. And I messed up on that speech something awful. I mean, I messed up on that speech. I had notes too. I messed up on that speech so bad I started over. And I got halfway through and they were starting to clap and stomp. It's kind of like, you know, the we will rock you kind of stomp. And that gym got louder and they messed me up. So I started all over again. Started over about four times. Never did get through the whole speech and they clapped me and stomped me off the stage. First time, I needed counseling, that's right. Vanessa said you needed counseling. I did. So here's what I did. Here's what I did. What's that say? It says suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character, hope. Let me tell you. Let me keep my finger right there. Somebody tell me where I am. Verse 5. So I went to the, as soon as I got off that stage, the assembly was still going. I went to a cell phone. Everybody listening to me? Everybody listening, it may not be a boring story, but it's the truth. So I went to the office phone. I went to the office phone, not a cell phone. That you only saw that on Hawaii Five-O, the TV show. You only saw that on Hawaii Five-O and Lost in Space. Anyway, so I went to the office phone and I called my dad. I said, "Hey, you got to come get me. They clapped me off the stage here, Dad." He said, "Well, what did you do?" And I told him what I did. He said, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right." He said, "Go back out in that hall and face those guys. Go back out." I said, "That's 792 people." He said, "Go back out in the hall and face them. Because here's the truth. You're going to have to face them tomorrow if I come get you today. You're going to have to go back out there tomorrow and face it tomorrow. So go back out there today and smile at them and laugh with them. Take the tools right out of their hands. This is my dad giving me fatherly advice. Go show your face, keep your head up, and laugh with them. And laugh with them. And laugh with them." I said, "You're not going to come and get me?" He said, "No, you got to learn to push through these types of things. This is what life is. You can't run from mistakes and embarrassing moments. You got to look it right in the eyes, and you got to go back in that hallway, and you face those people." Now, as an eighth grader, I got off the phone, and Hazel, the secretary, which we all loved Hazel. Hazel said, "Barry, what'd your dad say?" "He ain't coming to get me." Oh, she was like, "Oh, Jesus, Barry." Oh, because she knew what had taken place. So I got out there, and you know what I did the next day? I registered to run for school president the next year. And I won that election. And I did every assembly after that. And because I made a statement to Hazel before I left that office. I will never be clapped off another stage again. Never. 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 You see, you can either bow to a moment like that and succumb to it, or it can build the character in you to say, "I will never, never have to face that moment again. I will make sure I never face that moment again." And that's what Paul is saying those types of moments do. Now, that's just, how many know that to an eighth grader, that's traumatic? Okay, we're not talking about you lost your $250,000 job here, or you lost, you know, your family, or you lost, those are truly adult type trauma type situations. But do you know kids go through those same things? You know, seriously, kids go through those same types of things when families split. But those types of moments, Paul says, build character. Verse 5 says, and hope. does not disappoint us, but God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. What? He gave us the Holy Spirit. Free. Undeserved. Unmerited. Everybody know the definition of grace is what? Unmerited favor. He goes on to say in verse 6, you see, just at the right time. Everybody say right time. Get this. Just at the right time. And I put something off here on a note next to this says, when we were unable or powerless to do anything to deserve mercy from God. That's what he's inferring here. Just at the right time, Paul says, when we were powerless to do anything to deserve the mercies of God, Christ died for the ungodly. What? But I deserve. That's the declaration of the human condition. I deserve better. Can I tell you what? That is a lie and that is a fallacy. Anyone who has the impression that somehow you deserve more than what you have, if you have not worked for it, at some level or made yourself available to work for it, that is a tragic lie from the enemy that has been in the ears of man since the garden. And many have fallen for that very lie. It says in verse 9, since we have been justified by His blood. I've been justified by His blood. He paid the price for me. He did the work. He did the hard part. I get the easy part. And He gave me the easy part. He even gave me the faith to live out the easy part. And that's just the trusting of God. He did the hard part. Heaven gave its very best. Heaven gave Heaven's rose. There's a song that refers to Him as Heaven's rose. Came for you and for me. Heaven gave its very best. And He gives us the gift from God of eternal life. And all we have to do is believe. Not because I deserve it, but in fact, it's in spite of the fact that I don't deserve it. In fact, people say, well, I should have what I deserve. No, you don't want that. Anybody get that picture? You don't want what you don't, listen to it. You don't want what you deserve. No. You really don't want that. That shuts down the grace issue. That shuts down the mercy issue. That shuts down the cross issue. Because God says, Paul wrote, just in time, Christ came and gave His life for the ungodly. To rescue you. He is, it's what one of the words descriptions of Him is, He's our rescuer. He is our rescuer. I want to go on. It says verse 10, if when we were God's enemies, do you know that actually in sin, we're enemies to God's value system? Do you know that? Outside of Christ, we are enemies to God's value system. And that doesn't mean He didn't love us. But we were enemies to His value system. He loves us immeasurably. It says, we were reconciled through the death of His Son. How much more have we been reconciled? Shall we be saved through His life? It says, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Turn over to chapter 8 quickly, if you would. I want to start. I'm going to wrap this all up in just a little bit. But I'm going to start with jump down to verse 18, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 18. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Did you hear that? Paul is still referring to the really tough times that are going to happen on the earth in the believer. Can I just tell you, the early church suffered. And may I tell you that the current church around the world still suffers for the cause of Jesus Christ. And if someone told them, you deserve better, they would be the first to stand up and say, oh no, God, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't deserve better. I deserve worse than this. I'm serious. The church that is persecuted in the past and in the present would be the first members to stand up and say, don't ever tell me that's a lie. I don't deserve better than this. But this is one scripture that Paul said to me, and it's just a powerful statement. For this is the will of God concerning me. There are times in the believer's life where it's not going to look good. I mentioned not long ago when Deb, my oldest sister in Kansas City, had to stand next to her husband, my brother-in-law's body laying there as God took him home through COVID-19. Now, I can tell you there are people who would say her faith should have been stronger. She deserved better than that. And I would say that is a lie. That is the same lie that was told to Grandma Adam, or Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve. Don't tell Grandpa I called in Grandma. That's the same lie that has come all through the history of man. Jump up if you will, in verse 28. It says, it's about, we are more than conquerors. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, who He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And He called, and those He called, rather, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Do you know that you've been glorified with the presence of God? And you literally have access to the glory of God, the presence of God on a daily basis, and we don't deserve that. My prayer is, don't ever give me, Lord, what I deserve, but rather have mercy. Pour out your grace on me and through me. I'm going to wrap it up, but he says, verse 31, he said, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? When we will bring in, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Did you give that? Did you catch that? God gives us all things. He's the yes God. He's in a world that falsely says you deserve better. He gives us more. He's the yes God. He's not the no God. People think because he's got a few commandments in Exodus that he's the God that says no to everything. No, he's not. He's the God that said yes to so much. So much in your life. Yes, I'll bless you with a family. Yes, I'll bless you with children. Yes, I'll bless you with health. Yes, I'll bless you with blessings financially. Yes, I'll bless you. And he just continues to yes, yes. And here's the greatest yes. Yes, I will send my son and he will die on a tree, a nasty, splintered tree, have nails driven through his hands and his feet. They will put a crown of thorns. Yes, I will give you my best. And you will never be ripped off. Because you see, in the kingdom of God, everything that the Father has, you have access to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us. Teach us what it is to realize that we have nothing coming to us. We have nothing coming to us. I do not deserve better than what I have. In fact, I don't deserve what I have. I don't deserve who I have. I don't deserve the blessings that I have in my life on a daily basis. I don't deserve those things. And Father, teach us as believers to recognize that it's not about deserving or having, just because I'm a human being, there are certain things, God, that you will punish. You will punish those who hurt children. You will punish. There are no's in your kingdom. There are those when there's human rights that are violated, God, in a violent way, God, you will hold those accountable. You've said no to those things. Those are things that you not only frown on, but you judge harshly. In fact, your word says that anyone who would harm a child, it would be better that they have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea than to ever harm a child. You will judge that, and you will judge it well and harshly. But God, for those who just are simply trying to get through life, and they have this constant voice telling them, you deserve better. God, and there's the implication is this, God is ripping you off. Father, teach us not to buy into that lie. We don't deserve bad things happening to us either. The other side of that is we don't necessarily deserve the bad things that are happening to us. Now, sometimes if we make wrong judgments and we bring a repercussion, We see that the fact is we reap what we sow, whether it's good or bad. We can reap what we sow even in the negative or the positive. So those things do happen. But bad things don't necessarily indicate that a person deserves what they're getting any more than the blessings that when somebody pulls up in front of a house with a big old $500,000 car, Bentley, that somehow they deserve that unless they worked for it. Father, there's just times we know that life is confusing. But I know this, when we set all those indicators aside, when we stop judging what people have and what people don't have and what I have and what I don't have, all I have to do is look back to the cross and realize I have the most important person in my life, and that is Jesus Christ. Whether I drive a Bentley or drive a car that's barely running today, I am blessed. I am blessed beyond measure. And I don't deserve the goodness of God, but He loves me, and that's why I have His love, His grace, and His mercy on me. Awaken us, God, to this truth in the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.